This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
What's the tip?
Big boy in a fifth.
Forget it. The fifth goes off at 3. We going to the track?
You're listening to Race Day at Fairmont Park on lineupmedia.fm.
And it off.
With a different story on every face.
I'm going to Hawaii! I'm going to Hawaii!
It's falling back.
I'm not going to Hawaii!
Will they make it through?
I like the two horse. It's got front wraps.
Big money on the four horse.
I like the 6, that's the horse, that's it.
I always bet on 5.
The number 1 horse.
I like the 4, number 4, 4.
I like the 6.
I like the 4 horse.
And you lay your money down when you cross the line.
Here comes the champ.
I mean it, you are the champ. Believe me, you got more guts than you got sense. I love it.
Now your host, Jono Kabinjian.
Welcome back, race fans, Fairmont Park. We love you guys. Mike, welcome back, my friend.
Glad to be back, Jono.
I'm still popping my champagne open, brother.
Yeah, that's great. Congratulations.
Horse ran
a big race.
Yeah, you know, it came from the outside there, and I knew it was going to finish it off this time.
Yeah, you could tell.
Yeah. And Santiago, God bless him, man. He had a terrific day.
Yeah, had a good day, Tuesday.
And yes, I'm glad I was part of it. And you know, I told some of the people at the Winner's Circle afterwards, it's not even about the money. It's not. I mean, it wasn't a $500,000 race or anything like that.
Right.
It was a $3,200 claimer, and it was just fun. It was just fun having my friends there. We kicked back. We had drinks there. It was good.
Yeah.
It was good. I had flashbacks of, like, last time I was in the Winner's Circle with my own horse was 2006. So, you know, brought back some memories.
That's right. Yeah. And it goes for the same for the jocks, too. You know, the purse structure here at Fairmont is, you know, not the best, but it's, you know, it's all right. You can still make money. But it's that thrill of winning. You know, it keeps bringing them back every day, too. They want to win.
That's for sure, brother. That's for sure. And I tell you what, let's get our guest. And
all right.
Our guest for this week, I haven't had him on, and he's a newcomer to our track, and he's a big role of our track now, and he's our track announcer.
Exactly.
And that's Keith Nelson. Keith Nelson is part of our track now, and man, he's been calling some real nice races.
Yeah.
I love how energetic he is. Of course, it's going to take some time to, you know, it's like trying to fill in the shoes for, like, Derek Jeter or something like that, you know?
Right. John was around a long time. Everybody got accustomed to his calls, and Keith's a little different. He throws a different mix into the game, and it's nice to hear somebody different, too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And so we're gonna get him on. We're going to do our recap, and then we're going to get back to our picks for this week. And I also got a buddy of mine out on the East Coast. He loves playing Saratoga, and he's giving us some picks for Friday's Saratoga.
Oh, great.
Some pick fours and pick fives, too. So, let's get him on here. Let's get Keith Nelson on. Drew, are you working it? All right. Yeah. Keith is on. Keith, how are you?
Doing well. How are you, sir?
We are doing great. I got Mike with me here, and I was just telling him how, you know, we've got a new look from you, and it's exciting. It's exciting what you've brought to the table here as a new track announcer.
Well, it's been interesting for me in more ways than one as well, and I didn't know anything about John Scully's retirement until the story was released for a couple, 3 weeks, I guess, and I had a couple friends call me up within a week or two of one another, and I wasn't thinking about sending anything out and to the track, and I, you know, a couple friends coerced me, and I said okay, because I was pretty much, you know, done, because I couldn't really move anywhere like is needed in the industry and in all facets of the work, and I sent something in, and you know, nothing happened until the day after the Patriots came back in the Super Bowl that Monday. Connie Reams called me from the business office there at Fairmont, mm-hmm. and said, "Are you still interested?" And I go, "Well, yeah, sure." And then they put everything together, and
you know, got
to talk to Brian on the phone, and here I am. And you know, it's been really interesting trying to fill in a booth that's been with one guy, under the guidance of one guy for quite such a long time. And, you know, it's tough to not replace anyone, but to fill in. And that's what I consider it. And John couldn't have been a nicer guy. I mean, he's such a sweet guy anyways. And he's been a great deal of help to me as well. So the transition's been good. And I wish I could have done better, and I'm improving, and I've been away from it for a little while, but, you know, we're getting to it, and with the travel and everything that I do back and forth every week, it kind of gets to you a little bit, but sleep here and there, it works out.
Right, right. Yeah, you know what? I was telling Mike a second ago, too. It's like almost another shortstop coming in for Derek Jeter, almost, you know?
Oh, God.
It's really interesting.
In this aspect, you have two guys named Scully that retire weeks apart. You know, one doing the Dodger games and one's doing horse track announcing.
Right.
And how would you like to be the guy that replaced Vin Scully?
Right.
Real difficult. And so that's not nearly like that. But, you know, John is an iconic figure in the broadcasting realm in St. Louis, like Jay is, you know, along with, you know, Costas and all those guys that got their starts here and other places, but made their names in the St. Louis area. And it's really interesting to look at the history and working with Bill and Greg up top in the audiovisual scheme of things. The stories are endless, and I listen to everything that they have to tell me because the historical background on any track is great. And I did not know a great deal about Fairmont Park, even though I live just, you know, 4 hours away.
Right, right. Well, it's very much part of St. Louis, and you could almost say it's like Americana of racing. I mean, we've had Bob Hope here. We've had, I mean, just just maybe in the mid, I guess, was it 2004, 2005, we had Lawyer Ron.
Yes,
he ran here, in a race. I mean, it's kind of been like, oh, we bandage here, we put something there, but we still have put it all together. And God bless. I mean, and having people like you to keep it going, it's outstanding. So we appreciate it.
I'm being an announcer, and I really appreciate that. First off, but being an announcer in this industry or any industry is really kind of inconsequential, especially nowadays, where these people at the track that work so hard, like Roger and Lori Duff and the people in the racing office and in the administration office. I mean, I went through the same type of thing in Kansas City, like what they've had to go through the last numerous years, the uncertainty of every year of being employed, maybe having to cut back to be almost a part-time employee at times.
Mm-hmm.
And to do more than that, to have longer days because you're doing four and five different jobs. And it's hard, man. And what I do, I mean, I'm so far down on the totem pole as far as that goes. I realize how difficult everyone else's jobs are to just make the thing go on a week-to-week basis. And everyone's been so nice to me when they really didn't need to be, you know, because of the situations there. But everyone's been great and very receptive, and that makes my job easier, and it makes everyone's mood enlightened. And you all know as well as I do that if you want to go to work, regardless of what it is nowadays, if you're not happy, then why do it? And, you know, I have a lot of friends that have changed career paths midstream, like I did, from radio to racing. And fire my agent, right? And it's like, what are you doing? My parents tell me, but it's a love for it, and first, right. and you know, you really want to do it, and that's why I travel, and because I only race 2 days a week, I'm able to bail from my elderly parents, who are now back home from the doctors upstairs, and my 10-year-old daughter, who's entertaining her 10-year-old friend in her bedroom about 20 feet away from me. So.
Right. Hey, Mike's got a question. What do you got, Mike?
Yeah, Keith, how are you doing? This is Mike.
Good, man.
Hey, I do have a question for you. I've traveled around a lot myself, both with the standardbreds and the thoroughbreds. One thing that stood out to me when I came to Fairmont, came here back in 2000, and the thing that always impressed me about Fairmont Park was, you know, you have your $3,200 claimers and you have, you know, your little allowance horses and stuff like that. But the thing that impressed me the most was the crowd that this little racetrack gets each and every Tuesday and sometimes Friday and Saturday night. And then, you know, if you're home watching on TVG and you flick over and you see Belmont Park and you can shoot a shotgun in the middle of grandstands and wouldn't hit nobody. That really impressed me. And you have a lot of the same crowd. You see the buses out there on Tuesday when you come into work and you think, man, these people keep coming here. And it's just impressive, and it says a lot about the community.
Yeah, what do you think about
that? Mike,
it
really does. That's something that is a necessity to get to, absolutely. First off, every now and then when I would hear John, you could hear people in the background, you know, on his headset, because in the booth up there with very limited sight lines, you have to lean out. And I'm 6'3", 225, 228 on a good day. And I'm a little bit bigger than John. And the bottom of the windowsill will hit me below crotch level.
Right.
And so when I'm leaning out, I'm leaning out.
Right.
And it's difficult. But the first day I was there, granted it's Derby Day, so I really didn't really put that in the front of my mind too much, because most little tracks will draw people on Derby Day and Breeders' Cup Day if they're running. But, man, and I'll use last Saturday night for the big time mind blower. There's no way anyone's going to be here tonight.
Right.
I roll in, it's 105.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going, oh my God, this is just so hot. And there's already three buses there. I'm going, okay. And they were the younger generation as well.
Right.
The party buses, if you will. And that's another thing that gets me. The crowd, first off, it's awesome to have a crowd. And you know what's better than that? The jockeys really appreciate it as well.
Sure.
The horsemen really appreciate it as well. Even though it's not a huge track.
Right.
But these other places, like you mentioned, Mike, like Belmont Park, you can stand the grandstand from top to bottom.
Yep.
And it's taller than the Empire State Building.
Yep.
And there's hardly anyone ever there. Churchill Downs, people don't understand. They see it twice during the meeting if there's not a Breeders' Cup there.
Absolutely.
And it's vacant.
Yeah.
And it's so cool to come to a place that people support. And they actually wager as well,
right,
which is even more of a novel concept nowadays, isn't it?
That's right. And, you know, I talked to Santiago back in 2014 after Hernandez left here. I had Rafael for 7 or 8 years, and then I called Victor Santiago. He was riding in Belmont Park at the time. And, you know, he was treading water a little bit. And you don't have to win a lot of races out there to make money. But I was looking for kind of the situation, what you stepped in, somebody to take Hernandez's shoes, you know. And I talked to Scott Becker, and, you know, Scott, I showed him some video of this kid, and we agreed to get him out here, and Victor agreed to come. And he was just amazed with the amount of people that showed up each and every night that they raced. And, you know, there's a kid coming from New York and New Jersey that rode out there for 7 or 8 years and was appreciative of, you know, what he got to see here, the crowds.
Yeah, it truly is. It's one of the cooler things that you run into.
Right.
And there are other little tracks around the country. You know, there's Little Hazel Park in Michigan. They only run Friday and Saturday nights. I have a buddy of mine who works there. And they draw very well on Friday nights, not so much on Saturday nights, especially when there's other sports going on that are prevalent, Tigers and Lions,
right,
but and Pistons. But, you know, it's great. I mean, this is a major league sports town still with the Cardinals, but it is just amazing to me. The first thing I do when the replays start up on the Matrix board in the infield, every live performance, I go out to my double telephone booth and I look over the roof right by my air condition, and I see the cars coming in.
Right.
And it can be hot, it can be cold, it can be rainy, whatever. The people keep coming in. And that's also an attribute to the people that run, that still are at Fairmont Park, that run the place, because you do hear commercials running.
Right.
And they don't throw the money out there for any radio station or TV stations.
Yeah.
They actually do it the right way. And I've done it long enough to know I hear these things. I see John Sloan in there bringing people in to do news stories on a regular basis.
Right.
And he's done great work as well. So there's a lot of people that are thankful for that, to keep this place rolling like that, because you know as well as I do, guys, a lot of people wonder, is that place still open? That's
right.
What we ran into here in Kansas City. Kansas at the Woodlands was, they'd only come out on Derby Day or if there's a Triple Crown on Belmont Day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. People, after the place closed out here, kept coming on Derby Day. There'd be a parade of about 100 cars to a closed parking structure and a closed track for the next 5-6 years. and to have people realize that this place is open, and to treat people decent and good enough to have the recidivism visit, that they just want to come back and spend their money, whether it's on food and beverage, whether it's on other service entities, whether it's the gambling dollar. You know, it's a good experience for all, even the kids. The younger people come out, and that's what blows my mind the most, having a younger crowd mixed in with the older crowd as well.
Well, I tell you what, I kind of like your approach to it. I like the enthusiasm, stretch run. You're into it. I mean, you're like, to me, I got to tell you, Mike, Keith is kind of like my John Madden of football.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, boom, there he goes. He's around that turn. He's going to make a big move. And then, you know, I like that. I like seeing that. And my question to you, Keith, is, how the hell do you remember all these names? And I think horse racing announcers and hockey is probably the two toughest announcing games I could see. Horse racing probably the number one, because it's constantly you're not only focusing in on the top two or three. You got to be looking at the 5, 6, 7, 8 spots too, and not get carried away and just focus in on one or two horses. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's constantly your eyes have got to be roaming like a middle linebacker out there.
Yeah, dude, right on. It's a great analogy for both. I've done both. I did hockey in Lincoln for the USHL, Lincoln Stars up there. I probably only did about 30, 35 games over two seasons because I was working full-time morning radio up there. And this is early 2000 when David was just coming up through the system before he got drafted, David Backus. And he was just, I think he was 16 the first season he played there. And got to meet his parents and everything. And really cool group. And hockey, you know, you only have 20 names to really memorize each side. And it's hockey in itself, it's a different animal, but literally, I mean, I think horse racing is
but
the
it's
most
almost
difficult.
So, Keith, it's almost like you almost have to project and see in your eyes, you're almost visualizing a horse that's coming on, and you're almost telling the fans that, hey, look for this four horse given by the name coming from the rail or coming from the outside.
Yeah.
When he's not even in the top two, but you're saying, hey, he's coming. And it's almost you're playing that role as well.
I've gotten the good end of that and the bad end of that. And getting used to it's the one of the nuances, getting used to the track or any track for that matter, is kind of knowing the level of the horses as well. And because they're bottom level mainly, you know, $3,200, $4,000 are the main groups that we have to deal with. And I'll tell you what, I'll get back to this in a second. You ask any better if they want a field of eight $3,200 claimers, non-winners of three in a lifetime, or you want a field of four or five in a stake race, what would you rather bet on, right?
Right.
Okay, you can answer that. But as a race caller, I've seen horses just close big time around the 5/16th pole at Fairmont Park, and they're making a swooping four or five wide move, you know, and then they just flatten out in the final furlong. They got nothing left, you know, and they'll finish fourth or fifth or whatever. But I've gotten hammered on that, saying, oh, watch out for so-and-so, you know, and then I've also caught them sneaking through on the rail, saving ground. So I'm about 50% on that, but, you know, every track is different, and you have to realize what the competitive level is. And now getting to know the horses multiple times, that makes it a lot easier as well to know what their running style is. And handicapping, I don't bet, but handicapping the races to know who the come-from-behinders are and who's going to go out to the lead, who's coming from a sprint race, just regular handicapping 101, and that helps out calling as well. And it is fun. And John Madden, that's awesome you said that, because our family pretty much grew up together in the East Bay area in Pleasanton, California, when the Raiders were going great guns, and went to school with Ben Davidson's daughters. They were swimmers, and Art Shell would drive around in his LTD, you know, seat back, you know, because they're all so big.
It would have to be seat
baseball.
Back.
Oh, man. Just the Upshaw's kids were all over the place, and we were all it was the Rainbow Coalition in Pleasanton, and now it's become unlivable because it's so expensive, like everything else is in the Bay Area. But I'll take the Madden, man, and I'm different than other people. I try, you know, I'm not the best at it. I never will
be. You're getting better.
Oh, yeah, that's the main thing. I mean, I am my own worst critic. I'll go through and I'll watch the replays painstakingly. I've had a couple of real bad days, but you got to wake up when you're traveling as much, and yeah. I don't spend the night. And it's tough either way, but, you know, it is what it is, and just try to progress, and we can always get better at what we do.
Are you looking for that signature, like signature saying, like Scully had the, and they're off? And there's other announcers that say something else, too.
Down the stretch they come, Dave Johnson.
Yeah, something like
you
that.
Know, there's a guy I got Bill upstairs told me about. I didn't know Dave Johnson started there.
So did Durkin.
I didn't know that.
Tom Durkin did, too.
And so I know Durkin as well. And I was like, I knew Tom did.
Mm-hmm.
And but I didn't know. I didn't know that Dave did. And I had no idea. And then he told me how these stories have come about. And I was like, wow. You know, he's 18 years old and said, yeah, I announce over here, and, you know, so I guess one guy was sick or whatever. And, so we filled in, and he's the track announcer for a while, and there you go. And he became who he became. And I was just blown away.
And
you know?
I think
it's part of,
I think Kurt Becker did as well. I think Kurt Becker called some races.
Yeah, that's right. Kurt Becker, from the first ever Keeneland announcer, who now still announces his. I'm well versed on Kurt. Talked to him a couple of times, and he still does his thing for NASCAR on the weekends when he can. He's doing that pretty much full time and on their radio broadcasts. And Kurt's done a lot, man.
Yes.
And there's a vaunted history there, more ways than one, on horses. Like you say, the first photo I saw when I got there in May was Lawyer Ron running in the, what I think was the last St. Louis Derby, correct?
Yes.
That was the one that we put together, Circle C.
Yeah,
our
that's
group,
right.
Really?
Our group put that whole race together, and it was an unbelievable night. We had that whole place filled. They said they had cars all the way backed up under that overpass, all the way back to that far.
Oh,
that
yeah.
Distance.
Oh, I would believe it. That had to be a zoo. What a coup that was for you guys to put that together. I had no idea.
Yeah.
See, I learn things every day from everyone at the track, you know, and that's why part of the history of it, that's the big reason that I love to come there. And even not to work would be a fun place to hang out. You know, everyone's been so cool to the restaurant workers, to the people in the snack bar, and everyone in the paddock, and everyone's been great. So, you know, I just keep my ears open and shut up until it's time to talk, you know?
I think when you said that about John Sloan and all that, I think it's not just those people, but it's our culture as us growing up, we were like part of that as high school, junior high, high school. That's part of us, and we don't want to see that go away. I mean, this podcast show, you look up iTunes, I don't think you could find one podcast show that's solely directed towards a one particular track.
Right.
And that's just the love that we have for Fairmont Park. And it's like I said, if you're talking to St. Louis Cardinals, we got to talk about Fairmont Park too, because Mike Shannon, mm-hmm. he loves mm-hmm. Fairmont Park. I mean, all the ball players used to come out there, and it's part of our hand-in-hand type of culture here.
And there's a few of the Cardinals live on this side of the river as well.
Right.
Molina and them guys.
And you guys have it totally nailed, because also, you know, we mentioned the difference of demographics that show up for the live crowds all the time. You get an exorbitant amount of families that show up.
Yes.
And I'm not just talking jockeys' wives, and that's a given, you know, every track that's basically filled up the stands on a Thursday night somewhere, maybe at Indiana Grand, there's hardly anyone there. Penn National doesn't draw anybody. Yeah, you might have $1.5 million in handle, but how much is that actually percentage that goes in your pocket?
Right.
Not much.
Not much.
And it's great. It's great to have these guys, the kids, involved. It's a generational thing, and it is like that they handed it down. And you're absolutely correct. It's got to be that.
Yeah, I got to ask you this too. This is kind of like the, I guess, the bad question of being a track announcer. And when you seen Diego, eight lengths out like that, and you see him just run into the rail like that and fall off, and then you're seeing that group just going right over him, and as he drags himself underneath the rail, I mean, is it tough to just carry on a race and just focus in on the top two, three horses and just put that out of your mind now and not think about what's happened to a fallen jockey?
It was shock. And I'm sure I was probably maybe the thousandth person to be shocked, because I saw it was like the Doppler effect almost. I saw it happen, and I'm concentrating on calling the rest of the field, and I was just about to go up to the front, and I saw, you know, I think he hit the horse a couple of times, and then you saw the horse basically scrape the rail, or, you know, the safety rail, to say, hey, knock it off, you know, and he went off, and that was it. And I was like, okay, the horse didn't stumble, which is good. So I just kind of paused, and I was like, okay. And then I saw him basically ride the rail for a few feet. And then he went down. Boy, I tell you what, if Javier doesn't take Victor out for dinner for avoiding him, because Victor was
right
on the eight horse.
Yes, he
and was. In the race call, I couldn't say that, and I wasn't going to say anything afterwards, but I mentioned it right away when I opened the door. And I said, man, because you could see on the replay,
right,
Victor's horse was going nowhere, but he still had like two strides to veer to the right.
Yeah.
And Javi still wasn't underneath that rail. And
right,
then he did finally get under, but Victor really saved him. Not that the horse was going to clip him.
No,
but
you're right.
It was close. And so it was shock. And then I saw the four, you know, kind of inherit the lead, because there was a big group behind. And wasn't Rumbler the horse, the two horse? He was odds on. He was like 1-5 or something like that.
Yes.
And
yeah, he was running
and
off.
So there was a lot of money and a lot of crowd went the ooh and ah, and I was like, oh God, what's going to happen? And so I just picked it up, and I tried not to be like, you know, all happy go lucky. Well, you know, you try to be a little mundane, and because you don't know what happened to the rider, the horse, you could tell the horse looked fine.
Right.
And, but you're like, oh my God, okay, so this horse is going to win. And some of those going to finish. You finish calling the race, and then you go back, and I did. And I could see him move right away.
Yeah.
And then he got up to his butt, and then he got all the way up and walked in. I was like, holy crap, you know.
That's part of the aspect of this as a track announcer.
Yep.
And you know what? You're adjusting to everything, my man, and we appreciate it again for everything. I love it.
You guys have been great, and like everyone else has, and it's been great to be with you. And anytime in the future you need anyone, don't hesitate to call. I love doing it.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Keith Nelson. And folks, if you get a chance, if you're listening for the first time to our show, get a chance to go out there this year. If you've been out there in the past and heard John Scully, that was a veteran. And Keith throws a new twist to it that yep. I kind of love it. I love it. I love the enthusiasm into the race. And it's like me, you know, maybe I'd like to get out there and hop on a horse here and Keith out there, you know. But, hey, Keith, you even brought one of my horses in the winner's circle, and that was Don't Change Trainers. How about that? That was my horse.
Just the other day.
That was my horse. That was my horse, pal.
Man. Yeah. That's good for you, man. That horse is going to – I'm sure going to be there many, many times.
Let's keep it down. I don't want to claim it either, Keith. Let's keep it down.
Hey, Keith, I told him a while ago.
Being politically correct is always a strong suit nowadays. Yeah. Remember that.
I told him a while ago that his horse wins one more race, he's going to be eligible for the same condition my wife's horse is eligible for, Smart Alex Posse. So they might be hooking up. This might be a fun podcast in a few weeks.
it's possibly happening, so. Anyway, Keith, thank you so much for being on the show. You're a friend of the show. If you got anything, anytime, just let us know, and we'll have you back on, pal.
Hey, thank you, guys. You too. Same goes for you. Call me anytime. I might be hit and miss with the folks and the daughter going back to school in a couple of weeks, but we'll keep in touch. Thank you very much.
All right.
Thanks,
take
Keith.
Care. That was great, man.
Yeah.
That was great.
It was fun.
I wanted to meet him earlier, too. I wanted to have him on our show earlier. But you know what? He's in Kansas City, and
a lot of traveling.
So we finally made it happen, though.
That's right.
Hey, Mike, let's get to our recap. By the way, after this race here, I got something here. Well, let's play it before here. Drew, play that song. What's this, Mike?
It's got something to do with
Magic Carpet Ride.
Oh, and
Teddy Randazzo.
He's on.
Everybody, hop on this Magic Carpet Ride. All right, turn it off, Drew. Carol's Case.
Oh,
hey, you could turn it off now, Drew. All right, that was good.
Yeah,
Drew does it all.
It's fitting.
Yeah. I told you. I told you. The guy's unbelievable. I met the whole family
right.
at the winner's circle, too.
Imagine that, at the winner's circle.
Yeah, yeah. What is he now?
70-some-odd
50
percent.
For?
I don't know.
52?
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Anyway, I met Teddy. And guess what? This kind of ruined the whole thing of it. After that, during the whole day,
mm-hmm.
Well, I had to fill out a W-9 because I won a race, too. We'll get to that in a minute.
Right. Maybe it rubbed off on you.
Right. But I went to the office to fill out the W-9, and he's talking with Daryl,
mm-hmm.
our Daryl.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking with Daryl. I'm having a great time with Daryl and just talking horse racing. And Teddy said, yeah, I listened to the show, and I just talked to Teddy.
Right.
At the winner's circle.
Yeah.
At the winner's circle, too.
Yeah.
He's seen my face. I seen his, and I'm Jono. And in any case, I go, by the way, who are you? It's 17 years playing football, Mike.
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling you. I forget everything now. Yeah. And he goes, I'm Teddy. Teddy Randazzo. I go, oh, right. I'm sorry. Any case, boy. Carol's Case did it with Molina on the horse and the usual suspect, Teddy
yeah.
Randazzo on it as the trainer again. Made it happen. And
he's white hot. White hot.
1.5 to 1?
Yeah.
Who'd you have there? I had this horse on top.
You did. I had the runner-up, Arctic Vortex.
Yeah.
No excuses. Had every opportunity to pass her in the stretch and just couldn't get by her.
ESPN, you can't stop him. You could only hope to slow him down.
That's right.
Yeah. Carol's Case gets the job done here, followed by Arctic Vortex, and that was Santiago. And Santiago had a beautiful day this Tuesday. Boy, we'll talk about him in a minute. And the five horse, My Starbird. And that went off at 8-1. And what did I have here? I had a 3-4-5.
You had it.
On my, that's it. Yep, 3-4-5. There it is. At 8-1, I had the third place. All right. So Green Sheet did well there. Second race, or by the way, that 3-4 paid $12.20 on a $2 exacta.
That was a lot.
That is a real generous,
yes,
generous portion there, my friends. $12 on a one and a half to one and a less than one.
4-5.
4-5. Are you kidding me? I'd take that any old day. That's beautiful. And 3-4-5, $8.35 on a 50-cent trifecta. All right, so let's move on to race number two, and race number two is a 6 furlong claiming 4,000. And what do we have here? We have Sunny Summer, and that was Santiago, one of his many coming up here, and that went under a dollar, 90 cents to the dollar. The three horse, Daddy Was a Hustler, and that went off at 3.5-1. And the six horse, Royal City by Baylon Victor. And that was about 1.5-1.
Right.
Any shocking things there, Mike?
No, this race kind of unfolded the way I thought it would. I think we both had Sunny Summer on top. She kind of broke bad. The horses got away from her going up the backside a little bit. And Santiago, he just kind of saved ground around the turn and come running up the inside and won pretty handedly. And I think they might have sold this horse, too, in this race. I think she was claimed.
All right, we'll check that out in a minute here. And how the Green Sheet do here? And the Green Sheet had the four on top here, but it had the six coming in second. What was the problem with the six here, Mike?
No excuses.
No excuses.
No excuses.
And remember that, folks, next time out. Royal City had no excuses at all.
The horse that you had picked for third, though, she did have an excuse. She flipped in the gate, got loose, and was a late scratch inside No. 5.
Inside No. 5. All right. All right. Yeah, that plays a big role in it. Let's see the prices on this one. 4-3 on a $2 exact of $14. 50-cent try, 4-3-6, $4.70. A $1 daily, $3-4. $6.80 or mm-hmm. 60 cents, and a $1 consolation, $3.50, $2.90. So let's move on here. Race number three, and let's move on to my Green Sheet here too. Race number three, we have a 6 furlong maiden claiming 4,000, and anything? Wow! Look at the. Look at the second place horse here. The four horse Ice Bank by Arita.
Rainier Arrieta.
Rainier Arrieta won the race at close to 4-1. And the five horse Doris Last, is that it?
Doris Last, yeah.
Right. And that is Trujillo.
Trujillo.
Trujillo. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that J is an H sound.
That's correct.
That's the Spanish term.
That's right.
That's right. So that's Trujillo Antonio. And check this out. 31-1, folks. 31-1. Boom. There you go. There's a lot of money right there. 31-1. And then you got the six, De Jour Best. And look at this price. Almost 17-1.
That's right.
This is going to be interesting to see what this paid off. All right. What the hell happened here, Mike? Well, where'd all our favorites go here?
Your post-time favorite and your heavy, heavy favorite had a little bit of misfortune at the head of the stretch, kind of ducked in a little bit, hit the rail, lost his rider, Javier Diego. He had all the money on him. Looked like the horse to beat.
I remember
therefore
that.
Therefore, you see a lot of these prices coming in.
Yeah. He definitely people out there witnessed it. I mean, he had a 6, 7, 8 length lead. I mean, what do you want to hit the horse for?
Well, he's a bug boy. He's only been riding for a few weeks, and sometimes you just get a lesson right upside the head, and that's kind of what happened to Mr. Diego. And
I think it humbles him. It humbles him. He understands this isn't such a gravy game after all.
He'll learn from the mistake.
Right. I think he'll be back, and Next time he'll be a little cautious. I think he's a hell of a jockey, though. Mm-hmm. He'll definitely be back. So that's what we got on here. So let's see what the payoffs on this one. This has got to be a big one here. The $2 exacta 4-5. $509 to make you holler. 50-cent try here, 4-5-6, $1,733. The 10-cent super, 4-5-6-1. This is a 10 cent, my friends. It's $627. $1 daily. Double 4-4. Where does this come from? $10.80.
Yeah, that's kind of strange.
Yeah. It was a almost 4-1 horse, so it wasn't. A pick three here, 3-1 with the 4-5-4. $23.30. That's what we got on this one. So. You know, that was a very unusual race, though.
Yes, it was.
So you can't bank on crap like that to happen. What did I have on that, by the way? Let's check out what I had. I had a 2-4-1. I had a 2-4-1-3. All right, whatever. I wasn't close there.
Well, you had the 4 for 2nd with the favorite going over the rail.
Yeah.
You just moved up a spot, so you did actually have the winning horse.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks, Mike. Thank you. Let's go to race number 4 here. Race number 4. And race number 4 is a 1 mile claiming 4,000. And I like that. I said both these horses are going to go after each other here, and I like the 2-5 together. The 5-1 to race, I'd love a parade, and that was by Giles. And he had no problems in this race. He went off at 4-1. The Pontotoc Queen, he got 2nd, but he was disqualified here. Did you watch the race here, Mike? What did you think about that?
It could have went either way.
Yeah, of course you're going to say that. That's your jockey. All right. So he got disqualified there. The 4 got moved up, and that was Was You Doin' by Bilby. And that went off at 13-1. And the 7 there, Spice Pepper. Did they just switch places there? It went 5-4-2?
Yes.
Okay, so it went 5-4-2. That's what we had there. And Bilby got 2nd, and... Santiago got 3rd on that one with a Pontotonic.
Pontotoc.
Whatever. I can't say that one. Whose horse is that anyway? Tell him to change the damn name.
Durham.
Yeah, imagine that. And the 4 horse here, What's You Doing? Got 2nd on a DQ. All right, so what did I have on this one? I had a 2-5-7. And 2-5-7.
Yeah, he was kind of close.
I was close. Your guy got me disqualified, so.
Yeah.
But it's okay. He rode my horse and he won.
Our guy Bobby got him disqualified.
Right. Yeah.
Thanks, Bobby.
Damn Bobby. our $2 exacta there is 5-4, paid $93. That's not a bad one at all here, my friends.
No, that was a good one there.
Yeah, that is a real good one. The 50-cent try, 5-4-2, $46. $1 daily double, 4-5, $30. And the pick 3, 1-4 with the 5-4-5, paid $38.80. The 10-cent super, 5-4-2-7, $77.01. Let's move on to... race number 5 here.
Uh-oh.
Race number 5. This one, the horse named Don't Change Trainers. Don't change trainers here, folks. That was my horse there.
Who owns that? Oh, okay. That's yours.
Yeah, damn right that's my horse. let's see here. I got to get this on my screen here. I can't find this. Okay, there we go. Don't Change Trainers. And that's that was my pick there, and my horse, the 6 horse there, Don't Change Trainers. It went off at 1.5-1. Santiago rode a great race for me here, and the guys we loved it. Swung outside again, had what it you know before it didn't have it, no legs last time. This time, it made a right move.
Yeah,
it made
a
right move, and
he was ready to go.
Yeah,
He needed to race. He'd been off a year and a half, so.
Yeah, yeah, 18 months, so it was good. It was
great
good.
Job by the trainer, by the way.
Trainer, Tommy Tryon. God bless him, folks.
And Stephanie.
And Steph. Stephanie and Tommy Tryon, both of them, they took the horse in when people said, that, you know what, give the horse away.
Right.
So, you know, when you hear that and Tommy says, I'll take a shot at him, they put the horse up and then when you see him in the paddock looking all cut up, looking big again, looking muscular, you go, wow.
You know, I seen him last fall some, too, you know, out there in the field, eating grass, rehabbing. I fish out there a lot.
Right.
Trainer, he was out there running around.
Yeah.
Looked good.
He didn't look good out there then, did he?
Oh, he started to, yeah.
Really?
Took him a little bit, but Tommy and Steph got him ready to roll.
God bless. God bless. Great connections there.
Yeah.
All right, so don't change trainers. Won the race, Santiago, followed by 8. And I tell you what, this Walker horse here, Maelstrom, he's the real deal.
Oh, yeah. He hung in tough.
Last time he didn't get respect and he won the race. He didn't get
DQ'd.
He got DQ'd?
Last time, yeah.
I thought he won the race.
He did, but he got DQ'd.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that because I was focusing
on my
horse.
You're throwing your program down after you got DQ'd.
Probably. Cursing everywhere. Yeah, he's a hell of a horse. There's 7-1 here. That's a horse to look at.
Yeah.
And the one horse, Jesuit Warrior.
Jesuit Warrior.
Jesuit. What is it?
Jesuit.
That's what I said.
Jesuit.
Which one did I say?
Jesuit.
Whichever one you said is
it's
what
Jesuit.
I said. Jesuit. Yeah.
There you go.
Jesuit Warrior. And that's still young, Brooke there. And
track that, record holder, by the way.
What do you mean?
Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
5.5 furlongs.
Really? He's still holds it, huh?
Yeah.
Roski never broke that.
No. No.
Roski's breaking a lot of things, man.
Yeah. Well, that's the magic carpet ride guy.
You got that song again? No? You got rid of it? All right. I don't know how the hell he got rid
One
of it.
One and done.
Yeah. All right. So that's our fifth race. Let's move on to the, well, let's see the payoffs here. The 6-8 paid $26. The 50-cent try, 6-8 won $14.95. The 10-cent super, 6-8 won $42.31. The $1 daily double, 5-6, $16.30. And the 50-cent pick 3, 4-5, 2-6, $64.20.
There you go.
How about that?
You know, I was just thinking, though, too. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? You know, when Don't Change Trainers wins the next race, and then he's eligible for the same race that my wife's horse eligible. What are we going
to
do?
Well, I think we're going to have some side bets here.
Well, here's the problem. The same jock rides both horses.
Why don't you let the horse? Why don't you let him pick a? Hold on, genius. Why don't you just let him pick it out of a hat? Hey,
what are we going to do?
Why don't you let him pick it out of a hat?
I'll tell you what I'll do for you. We're going to flip a coin.
Could you do that? Will you do that? Would that be cool?
And whoever wins
gets
Santiago.
Uh-huh.
The other person will get Balon.
Well, I'm fine with either or, but I like to have Santiago. I always like to keep the winner on.
Well, so does my wife.
Okay, so it's going to be fair. You're not going to look at him like Brezhnev looking at one of the Russian athletes or anything,
no,
are you?
No, because this horse, her horse, won't run until August the 15th, which is the date that race comes up.
Mm-hmm.
So.
All right. Well, we'll do it fair then, okay? It's a friendly.
We'll flip a coin.
Okay.
All right. You heard it here, folks.
Okay, good. All right, then that's it. We'll flip a coin. Race number 6, we got a 1 mile claiming $3,200. And you know what? You can never count this horse out. You didn't have this horse last time. And that was Beefy.
Oh, I know. He's running big. Every time they lead him over, he's running right there.
Yeah, Beefy, every time we count this guy out, Beefy comes in here, and he's like, he's not sirloin either, my friend.
And she, Brooke Stillion, rode a fantastic race.
Yeah, she did. She did. What was up with her having that camera on my race?
I didn't see it.
She had a camera. She was on the one horse. She had that on, mm-hmm. on that Jesuit, whatever.
Jesuit.
Jesuit horse. Mm-hmm. And I was like, What are they looking at here?
Hmm.
I mean, I like to personally get that tape
right.
to see the back end of my horse crossing the finish line.
Ooh. Well, maybe they what they was doing. Maybe they're doing some kind of a TV show on your horse.
Yeah, without me knowing about my my own horse. Okay. So this one was won by Beefy in the nine hole here. And that was Stallion Brook there. And it went off at 4.5 to 1. Followed by the 7, So Rustin.
Look at the odds on that one.
Santiago, 22 to 1. Folks, almost 23 to 1 on a Santiago horse. Are we kidding here? What's going on here?
I don't know. I couldn't believe
when
it
is
myself.
This guy going to get respect? Some love?
I don't know.
So he goes off at 23, almost 23 to 1. And 6 horse here, Prince Neff. And that was Bilby. And almost 2.5 to 1. What did I have here? I had the 6-4-2. I had nothing. I had Santiago.
Look at the comment on the green sheet there at So Rustin. What does that say?
Let's see. It says, now the question, why does the top jock hop on? Hop on a 20 to 1.
Wow. Question answered.
Yes. Question answered. Question answered.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful green sheet there, too. I tell you, I love it. Moving on to race number 7. Or let's finish it out with the payouts here. Exacta, 9-7, $159. 50-cent tried, 9-7-6, $84.60.
Big balloons on this.
Yeah. Superfecta, 9-7-6-3, $208.81. $1 daily double, 6-9, $15.50. The pick 3, 5-2-6-9, $63.70.
That's terrific.
Yep, that's not bad at all. And your jock made that possible in the exotics. Race number seven. We got a 6-furlong maiden special weight, 8,000. And anything on this one, Mike, that you called this right from the get-go, this was your best play of the day.
Yeah, this filly ran a couple weeks ago, and they had gate issues with a couple other horses, and she stood in the gate forever. She just got real flat standing in the gate, might have tied up a little bit, like I said last week on the show. She got a clean break. She broke out of there. She went to the front, and he rode her like you should ride a 3-to-5 shot. Look for her in 2 more weeks to come right back and win again. She'll be in the non-winners of 2 allowance, and she'll be awful hard to handle there too.
The one horse that really let me down here, and that was the 7. I really thought the 7 was going to be much more than what it was. Let's give the rundown of the second place, or the 3 horse was Honey's Tail, by the way. It was Santiago, and it won by 12.5. Yeah, you could have picked up a rock and thrown it as far as you can, and that's how Santiago finished this one off. And the 9 horse, Air Ellie, this was the horse that was my long shot horse of the week a couple weeks ago, and it's been up to par, and people have jumped on this horse, and true to form, my friends, and it went off close to 4-to-1. And the 6 horse, Position to Dance by Giles. And this was a 5-to-1 horse. So, you know, what did I have here? I had a 3-7-9-2.
Duchess Lala, the 2 was a scratch.
Yeah, that's the problem. So the 6 moves up on the totem pole here. So I had a 3-7-9-6. And so, you know what? I did all right. I mean, I got in my trifecta box type of look there. So I got that. And anyway, that's what we had on this one, and you called that. You told our listeners a Honey Tail will not look back, and it sure didn't.
No, she figured to do that, though.
The payouts on this one, the $2 exact, the 3-9 paid $10. Oh, wow, $10 on the 60-cent horse. 50-cent try, 3-9-6, $5.95. The 10-cent super, 3-9-6-4, $7. $1 daily double, 9-3, $13.70. The 50-cent pick, 3, 2-6, 9-2-3, paid $11.45. The 50 Cent pick four that I hit. 526923 paid $66.95 on a 50 center. By the way, I did hit that pick three going into my – I singled my horse in that last leg, and that paid, I think, $129 on a $1.
Good deal.
So it was – it worked out. That's what we have for you folks on the recap. Now let's move on to our live racing coming up this Saturday. Folks, again, check us out on Google Play, on Stitcher, on iTunes, and check us out at FairmontParkPodcast.com. Check us out on Facebook. You can see us on Race Day Fairmont Park. You can check us out there. And you know what? We got a lot of shows here at lineupmedia.fm. You can check out much more shows on part of our system here at lineupmedia.fm. And also, folks, remember, if you go to iTunes, which I want you to go to iTunes, leave us a 5-star rating. How about that? You leave us a 5-star rating, people see that. Advertisers see that. They love it. So helps us out, too. Mike, let's go to our picks here for this coming Saturday.
Okay.
On the 29th.
Let's
move back this thing up here. And Saturday, the first race we got is a quarter horse, optional claiming 10,350-yard sprint. What do you got?
Okay, on top I went with the outside horse, Big Bad Ivory, with Bill Griffin and Uriel Lopez. They're proving to be a deadly combination.
Deadly.
The outside post, they're going to be awful tough to beat. Mm-hmm. For second, I used the inside horse, Girl Be Valiant. She's coming off two wins. I think she's got enough to hold on for second. And for third, I went with the Whittower-trained five-horse Mighty Lindy and Rainier Arrieta.
Right. Well, you know what? I went a little different here. I went with Mighty Lindy on top here, followed by the eight-horse Big Bad Ivory, and I went with the one-horse Girl Be Valiant. So that's where I went. At least we have the top three there. You got to always exacta box or trifecta box that. Moving on to race number two. Race number two, we have, what do we have here? We have a maiden special weight, 6 furlong. And this is, what's the purse, 8,000?
Yes.
8,000. What do you have here, Mike?
On top, I went with a rail horse, Mike Nance's Bumpity Bump Bump. His regular rider, Juan Molina, is back in the irons. Coming off a couple of pretty good races. I look for her just to go to the front and just keep on going in this race. She's my best bet of the day. For second, I used the 5. I Found a Penny, Gabe Britannia, and Francisco Giles. And for third, I went with the Jerry Hammond and Uriel Lopez, Robbie Jones.
Okay, I went with Bumpity Bump Bump, and that's Nance horse, 6-5. I followed it up with Robbie Jones, the 3-horse. And I went with I Found a Penny. Mm-hmm. I Found a Penny, the 5-horse here. That's the route I chose on this one. And let's go to race number 3. Race number 3 is a 6-furlong claiming 3,200. And what do you got here, Mike?
For the winner, I went with the 3, Highway 54, Mike Durham, Victor Santiago. This horse is there every time. They changed a little bit of equipment on him. They went to a different blinker. I think this horse goes by the last couple of horses.
What horse was that?
3, Highway 54.
Mm-hmm.
I look for him to win the race. For second, I went with Richard Eubanks's Latin Wildcat, number 5, Juan Molina back in the irons again on that horse. Been right there the last couple of times. Should be there again. And for third, I went with the 7, Taproot, Kevin Wilborn, and Argelio Vasquez.
Well, I went with the same two up top there. I went with the 3 and the 5. And the third place spot, I took the Golden Pattern here by Giles and Martinez at 7-2. So right. That's what we have there. Moving on to race number 4. And this is a 1 mile claiming 4,000. And what you got here?
Okay, up top I went with the 2-horse Taking Cheap Shots, Kenny Rosendahl with Brooke Stillion in the irons. I think this horse is good enough to win this race. Put her on top with the 6, Sugar Vision, for second for trainer Ralph Martinez. Ralph's having one hell of a good meet. Francisco Giles is in the irons. I look for this horse to run big. And for third, I went with Spotty, the number 3 horse, coming off of maiden win. Should get a good trip in here and look for him to hold on for third.
Well, I went with Sugar Vision. Sugar Vision on top here, the six, followed by the two, taking cheap shots with Stallion. And the one horse here, Coat Chief, always making up ground. And Molina, how can you not play Molina here at 8-1? I like the connections, and I like what I'm seeing here. So that's what I got.
Okay.
Moving on to race number five. Race number five is a 6 furlong claiming 4,000. And start us off, Mike.
Okay, for the horse on top, I went with the outside, one of the outside horses, Electric Cat, the 9. Trainer Durham starting to heat up. Look for this horse to come back, cutting back in distance. I think he's coming off of a mile race, cutting him back to 6 furlongs. I think that's his choice to go what distance. I just think this horse is good enough to beat this field. For second, I used the 10, Dr. Lechte, Don Bentler, and Juan Molina. And for third, I went to the far inside, number 1, Green Means Go, Mike Nance and Victor Bailon.
Okay, this was my upset special, Mike. Mm-hmm. And I went with the 8 horse here, Stampede West, at 10-1 here. I think the class, I think the claiming 5,000 level, and then you got Durham. I think Arietta's been riding somewhat aggressive lately. I like what I'm seeing here. I like the horse going to the front here. It's going to be tough to bring this horse down. I think this horse is going to run away with it. I think it's going to be – they're going to try to catch him, and the Arietta's been holding the front pretty good lately. I like this horse on top here at 10-1. 10-1 here, my friend. That's my upset special. Followed by the 1 horse here, Greens Means Go. And Nance is making some he's on my green sheet here a lot.
Yeah,
this time around.
He makes a lot of noise all the time.
Yeah, and Mike's right now, at he's got my Green Means Go as my second place. And the 2 horse, Glitter Road, Bilby and Dill here, 9-2. Mm-hmm. That's what I got.
Okay.
Did you like my long shot play at all?
Yeah, I do. I like the power numbers on that horse.
Yeah, that's what I did too.
The only question I have about that is he's got Arietta on that one. He's got Santiago on the other one. Mm. But Santiago fits the one he's on.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, you might be onto something there.
Let's go with claiming 3,200, 6 furlong in race number 6 here, Mike.
Okay. For the winning horse, put number 4, Affirmative Song. Again, Mike Durham. Victor Bailon is on this horse. He's coming off a strong second-place finish. He finished second, got beat 3/4 of a length to Smart Alex Posse. And Mighty Gideon was in that race as well as he is for Saturday. I think this horse has woke up the last time. I think the switch of riders to Bailon made a difference. Sometimes a change of hands helps out. And I look for this horse to win pretty convincingly. For second, I did go with the 2 horse Mighty Gideon, Jerry Hammond, and Uriel Lopez. And for third, I went to the old reliable Bo Zippity on the inside, number 1, Leroy Hellman, Francisco Giles.
Well, I tell you what, I couldn't agree with you anymore on this one. I like your 4 horse on top, followed by Mighty Gideon. And I threw in the Diego horse here with Ritana, Wildwood Summertime. I think it'll have enough for a third place here, and that's the 6 horse. So I got a 4-2-6 on this one, Mike.
Okay, that sounds good.
All right, so let's move on to race number 7 here. Race number 7 is a 6 furlong allowance optional claiming 10,000. This is a nice one here.
Yeah, it's a nice race, evenly matched race. I had a little bit of trouble deciding whether to go with the 2 or the 5. Chris Doris trains one. His father, Tom, trains the other. Pretty much did with the same thing with the jocks. I kind of flipped a coin, and I went with the 2 horse, Kissin' Rosie on top, Chris Dorse, and Victor Santiago to win the race. For second, I used Star Magna, Tom Dorse, and Victor Bailon. And for third, I used Eddie Essen Price, has trained Mary Jean's Wildcat with James Bilby in the saddle.
Okay, I went with Kissin' Rosie on top here, the 2 horse, followed by Mary Jean's Wildcat, the 3 horse. And the 5 horse here, Star Magna. Mm-hmm. And that's what I have on this one.
Okay.
All right, that's what we have. And moving on to the 8th race.
This was another tough race for me. They got an invader coming in from out west, lineup for Kisses, the 2 horse. For trainer Durham, He just recently purchased this horse, and I'm going to go give her the nod and put her on top. For a second, I went with a dropper in class, Brown Shoes, the four, trained by
which
Frankie
one did you have on top?
Lineup for Kisses, number two.
I got you.
And for a second, I used Brown Shoes, Frankie Randazzo, number four, Victor Balon in irons. And for third, I went with Juan Molina's mount in here, the five, La Bella, trained by Vernon Obermeyer. Like I said, this is a wide-open race. Anybody could win it, but the nod goes to number two for me.
Yeah, and you know what? I went with the class here. I went with Ruby's Lee Song. I think that has experience in this type of field here, running a lot of allowance optional claimers that I think that it gets on the board this time. At 5-1, I'm going to take advantage of it. I just think the class will prevail here. You're seeing a lot of horses that are moving up in class. I think this horse has been running at this type of race here. I think maybe it could. I think it could break a streak here. What, one, two, three, four? Four times it hasn't been in there.
Right.
It's got to get in there.
Yeah, she's dropping really, yeah, too. She, you know, she's dropping from 12, 5, and 10 down to 4.
Right.
So she, you might be onto something here as well. She might get to the front with this bunch and just never look back.
Right. And Essam Price and Bilby, they're due to get something going again.
Yes.
So
in a drought form.
Yeah, they're in a little drought. So this is the one that I see them getting it. And
getting some water out of it.
Yeah, definitely. So that's what I see in this one. And you know what, folks? I don't see anything second and third here. Nothing really stands out to me.
Right.
That's what I see. That's all I'm going with on this one. Hey, folks, a bonus play, too. A bonus play for Saratoga for Friday's card here. And my friend Chat, he loves playing Saratoga, and he sent this to us. This is our early pick five, and it starts with race number one. 50-cent pick five, 1-2-4 with the 4-9 with the 1-2-7 with the 5-6-7 with the 2-4. Okay, that's 1-2-4 with the 4-9 with the 1-2-7 with the 5-6-7 with the 2-4. That's a $54 play, 50-center, starts with race number one at Saratoga. And the late pick four, starting with race number seven, and that is 4-5-8-9 with 7-8-9 with 2-6-7 with 2-6-8. All right? And that's a 50-center, and that's a $54 play, too. Thank you so much, Chet. I tell you what, Mike, another great show.
Yep, it was fun.
And thank you so much, Keith Nelson, and keep doing what you're doing. And folks, keep playing out there. Keep making some money at Fairmont Park. And we love having you guys. Keep messaging us. And we'd love to have another Fan of the Week on the show, too.
Oh, yes.
That was good.
Absolutely.
Leon's a rock star now.
Yes, he is.
All right, my friends. Take care. We'll see you next time.
Tune in next week for another episode of Race Day at Fairmont Park on the lineupmedia.fm network. Subscribe to the show on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or through our website, fairmountparkpodcast.com, and follow the show on Facebook and Twitter. There's a perfect time when you're tempted. This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.